Governor McCrory, you are now almost midway through your second year in office. Is being governor what you expected?
It is about what I expected. I understand first I've had to deal with crisis from major accidents to storms to a shooting of highway patrol officer, which was a very emotional time in my life to deal with, and dealing with him and his family was one of the most rewarding times I also had to. Dealing with the legislature is really, frankly, not much different than dealing with the city council. It's just much larger, and because of the largeness, the dynamics are a little tougher to control. And then dealing with a large budget and dealing with budget crisis is something that I had a great deal of experience in. Probably the only surprise was the lack of a honeymoon that I had coming to Raleigh. And after I was sworn in, I think within days we had protest and criticism before the ink had dried on my inauguration speech. I probably was expecting a little more of a honeymoon, but that's the way politics are these days. And so that's probably been the only surprise that I've had at this point in time. But I've loved the job. I've especially liked traveling the state and getting, frank, I love Raleigh, but I like, you know, as governor, you have to get out and talk to the people and be sure not to get caught in the bubble of state government. This is a very small bubble in these 8 or 10 blocks in and around the mansion and the state capitol. And you tend to see the same 150 people every day. And you have to recognize that the state is well over 9 million people. And from the mountains to the coast, there's a lot of diversity and a lot of opinions. And I've constantly tried to get out and listen to what people had to say, respect what people had to say, and at times disagree. But that's part of the process that I love.
Well, speaking of that bubble, we are just a short walk away from the legislature, and House and Senate leaders are currently considering different proposals for teacher raises, mm-hmm. and there are differences between their plans and between your budget proposal as well. Mm-hmm. So the House would offer average 5% raises, taking advantage of some lottery money. The Senate would offer 11% raises. Your plan offers lower raises but focuses on career pathways and ways to keep teachers in the profession. In the end, the House and Senate will have to agree on one plan. What could you compromise on?
I disagree with portions of both the Senate and the House. The portions of the Senate, I don't agree with a one-time pay raise for everybody and basing it on whether they accept tenure or not. I think that's the wrong way to do things. And also, I disagree with not even including performance or anything else. That's kind of a conservative standpoint. And I disagree with the lottery numbers on the House side. My budget director and myself don't agree with those numbers and don't trust those numbers. So I think we're going to come to a consensus based upon my discussions and make some tough decisions. And the other thing is I don't agree in giving a teacher a pay raise and then taking their teacher assistant away. And that would literally be thousands of teacher's assistants, which would get pink slips within the next several weeks. That's not the way to reward teachers.
Well, I think no one would dispute the fact that teachers should be paid more. You've said that teachers should be paid more. The House leadership has said that. The Senate leadership...
Yeah, the good news is everyone's in favor of teachers being paid for. Republicans, Democrats, Independents. This is not a partisan issue. The question is how best to do it, how much, and where is the money coming from?
Well, that
which
was my next question.
Position.
Exactly, exactly. Now, how do you pay for it? Because I think that's really a question. I know in your budget proposal, UNC leaders were not as happy with cuts that were made to the university system, but you had said that you really wanted to emphasize better pay for teachers. That was one of the hallmarks, I think, of your budget proposal.
Well, I think our budget proposals on universities, I think they're taking a little less than 2% reduction in expenditures, although their overall cost with other revenue coming in is not much different than it was before. But listen, every area of state government, including my own staff, is going to have to look for ways to do things better. And universities are going to have to do that too. If we have duplicate majors among many universities, maybe we ought to start sharing those professors with the technology we have today. If we have buildings that are underutilized in universities or all schools, we've got to think of utilizing our existing buildings better before we go build multi-million-dollar new buildings, which we have been doing for the past 10 years with no long-term maintenance budgeted for those buildings, which is a huge problem right now in universities because there's been a lack of planning and there's been a lack of looking at long-term operational costs. So, you know, I'll be expecting the Board of Governors and all the trustees at the universities, as I will of the community colleges and Department of Public Administration, is how can we use technology better? How can we share resources better? How can we break down the silos between K through 12 community colleges and universities better so we don't have duplication, which we currently have today?
I know some university administrators, I think, get really nervous about that because they, I think, often don't want to restrict courses that are available to students at their universities. But it seems to me that what you're suggesting is that perhaps universities need to make some changes and adapt.
There is not an unlimited amount of money. And the private sector has had to, you know, especially during the recession, has had to make adjustments, drastic adjustments. I just met with real estate agents yesterday, you know, a group of 500 real estate agents. They didn't have any money for 3 years. They had to make adjustments in just surviving, and they had to change their whole marketing on how to just stay in business. Universities have to do the same thing. Professors might be required to do more and change our priorities. We all have to do that in our own life, and as governor, I have to do the same thing.
My conversation with Governor Pat McCrory continues next hour. We discuss his views on Moral Monday protests and what to do with coal ash.
The problem with this issue is, as you can see by the political commercials, people are turning this into a political argument on both the right and the left. And frankly, it's a scientific argument that we have to get clarification on from the scientists and the engineers. And that's frankly who I'm going to listen to.
There's more with Governor Pat McCrory next hour on Morning Edition and online at WUNC.org. I'm Jessica Jones.